This moment, oh, thank you. Give a hand clap to the Lord this morning. This moment, we're going to ask the children to come forward and have a fun little children's moment with Miss Diane Wright.
Good morning. How are y'all? Good. So this morning, we're going to talk about, today is All Saints Sunday. And so this morning, we're going to talk about faith. And Pastor Mary is going to tell the grown-ups about how those who have gone before us, those who are in heaven, have taught us faith. And so, what is this? Do y'all know what this is? What is this? Phone, that's right. And on my phone, I call people, I text people, but I also have photos of people. Like, this is my mom on our wedding day. And then I also have memories of other things. And so today on All Saints Sunday, as we remember those who have taught us different things in life, I want you to think about the memories that you have with different people and the memories of those who have taught you the great, great things in life, okay? So that's my challenge to you for this week, is to remember those who have taught you wonderful, wonderful things, all right? Pray with me. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for letting us gather to worship you. I pray that as we remember those who have gone before us, that you would help us remember the race that you have set before us, and that we would remember how much you love us and how much you want us to carry on your name. In your name I pray, amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us this morning.
Jesus. Won't you be seated? Before we begin our pastoral prayer today, as many of you know, we are observing All Saints Sunday. This past year, we lost a very precious saint to this particular launch congregation, Mr. Bob McInturf. At this time, I'd like to present Anne, his blessed wife, a little token from your church. I'll bring it to you, sweetheart. Receive this with our love. You'll see in your bulletin those other persons throughout our family of Asbury that we will be recognizing later on in the communion liturgy. But I turn your attention now to those that have asked for prayers from you, their church family. So let us now go to God in prayer as we remember these persons. Most loving and faithful God, it is always good to gather in your sanctuary, your church, to celebrate your goodness, to claim the honor of being your child, to lift up thanksgiving in our hearts and minds that you are our Father. And on this particular Sabbath day, when we recognize the saints, we are grateful for the saints in our lives past, the saints in our lives present, and the saints to come. And Father, help us to remember that we are on our own journey to sainthood, remembering what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist faith, said, that we are going on to Christian perfection. We are not there yet. But Jesus is the forerunner, the perfecter of our faith. And to his example and his love, we aspire to be. So, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we pray this prayer, and we also are mindful this time of year how many are not feeling thankful. They're at a bad place in their lives. But you can heal hearts. You can provide blessings. And we, as your people, can draw nearer in prayer and encouragement. We come today also in anticipation of receiving Holy Communion, being reminded in that act of remembrance, where Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So in remembrance, we thank you as we confess our sins, being mindful how they have hurt others, hurt ourselves, and hurt you most of all, O God. So through your Son, Jesus Christ, we will celebrate the gift of grace as we renew our commitment to be stronger in our faith. Be with all those who are away protecting us. Keep them safe. Be with all of us on Tuesday as we vote our conscience. And we always, always ask that your will be done. And we must trust that. So God, hear our prayer as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We would ask our ushers to come forward as we prepare our tithes and offerings. Again, thanks to all of you who have submitted your pledge cards. And please, please, if you have not, please pray about it. Increase them if you can, but please turn them in so we can be better about determining our budget for 2019. Let us pray. Most gracious God, it is with joy that we give you these gifts. It is with anticipation how they will be used for your kingdom and its glory. So, Father, thank you and bless these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is no shadow of turning.
Dear God, I ask that you be with Pastor Mary as she comes forward and delivers your message that you want to be delivered to this church on this very special Sunday. We ask that through her words, the message that you shine through and touch the minds and the hearts of those here. Help us, Lord, as we go out of this place with us this week as we interact with those around us, our family, friends, and co-workers. Just help us to share your love.
This morning, we're going to be looking at our scripture passage on this special All Saints Sunday from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And as always, I invite the people of God to hear this word of God, especially prepared for you on this day. Hear now God's word to each of us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The word of God for the people of God. So every Sunday, I come before you and in some form or another, I share a word to you, a word that you might grow closer in your faith. This journey of faith that you are on, that you might become closer to Christ, grow closer to his will in obedience. Jesus teaches and warns us about developing unbelief. My daughter Kara's favorite scripture is taken from Matthew 17:21, one of the teachings of Jesus about our faith. If you will just have faith of a mustard seed, which is about as tiny a seed as you'll ever see, you can move mountains. Again, Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in my name, ask and you shall receive. For where two or more are gathered, there I am also. Now, earlier in the book of Hebrews, Paul warns us against the dangers of unbelief with these words. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, encourages one another daily. And in that encouragement of one another, Paul says in Hebrews 6:11, that will produce a faith which shall endure. Now, we all know that there have been points of our lives where our faith has been stronger than others. And unfortunately, there have been times when we're really going through a difficult period and our faith is not as strong as we really need it to be, really hoped it would be, which is all the more reason why we should constantly build our faith, do whatever we can to strengthen our faith, like a reservoir. It will be there for us when we need it. Paul continues to help us with our faith as he lists what is called the roll call of the faithful in chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Love that verse. It bears repeating. Now, faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. By faith, Abraham stepped out, going where he had no idea where he was going. And so on, the roll call goes with Sarah, his wife, and with also Joseph and Jacob and Isaac, all of the patriarchs. And from there, we have the lineage, of course, of King David and unto Jesus Christ, the disciples, apostles, and so forth to where we are today. You are a part of the legacy of the roll call of the faithful. So by faith, Paul says, about each person who contributed to the will of God, bringing people closer to him, we are engaged in that journey. We are a part of that legacy. Now the question is, who are you bringing closer to God? Faith, we know, is not just something our ancestors had. Faith is what we need to live in obedience to life. I mean, if you just wake up one day and say, gee, I'm going to be obedient today, but you don't have much faith, that may be a goal that you might not reach. By faith, in other words, by God, we will have strength to be more obedient. Faith will bring us eternal life through the salvation of the Lord. Romans 10:9. Remember this verse? I've shared it with you a couple of times. Mark it in your Bible. Write it down right now in your bulletin. Take it home. Mark it. Remember it. Put it on your app. Whatever. Romans 10:9. For if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a great promise. Amen. So God simply calls us, if I'm reading that correctly, to believe and have faith. Now, my question is, what's the difference in those two words? To believe and to have faith. Well, you can believe in a product, but until you've tested that product, experienced that product, found some results that improve the quality of your life in that product, you may not have faith in that product. A local TV station has a little promo that they do every now and then, a segment called, We Try It Before You Buy It. Now, one, in my humble opinion, the greatest products ever made in humankind is something simply called the Dustbuster. I used it. I had a hard time opening my hand back up for all the childhood of my children, because I had that gripped mightily in my hand and just followed them room to room to room. It was fantastic how it picked up color shavings, glitter, crumbs. Now, I just use it when to follow Tony. Works just as well. So, Paul is influenced by the Greek games that are going on in his time, in his culture. And because of that, he gives us this image of the race. Now I can look at you, and some of you are avid runners. Some like me, your knees won't let you do it anymore. But running invigorates the mind. Sets off those endorphins, you know, and you're just feeling good until your body starts feeling bad. But it's good for you. The heart's racing. Blood's pumping, circulating. So running is a good thing. Paul uses it as a means to an end, okay? Running in perseverance to win the goal of the prize in Christ Jesus. Paul uses this as an image of a lifelong faith. I love that. We are so blessed to be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, those persons who have successfully run their course of faith. Now they're encouraging us, because what's important to remember is we don't struggle alone. We have saints in the making. We are saints in the making. Together we are running this race, this course of faith, and we are keeping one another accountable. That's what the family, the body of Christ, does. We don't just say, hello, how are you doing? We say, we missed you in worship. We say, we missed you in Sunday school. We invite them to participate in a mission, in a ministry. You see, we're together as a team running the same race. Spirit of the witnesses to us, assuring us we can run this race. Now, our older daughter and son-in-law and three-year-old granddaughter were in first service. And about 7 years ago, she ran a race. And she did so, as I have there, 1 month and 5 days before she got married, as if that wasn't a challenge enough. But she's expecting a baby next month, and it's like, I could never run that race now. Well, she's not supposed to. But here's the deal about that. Every time Katie or Kara ever participated in an event, came up on a school stage to receive an award, you know, did anything like that, we were there. We were there to encourage them and to support each of them in their accomplishments, just to be present. We're proud of you. That's what parents do. But we couldn't be there for this race. And it struck us that we had always been there for her special events. But the race was in Georgia. Our work wouldn't allow us to take that trip at that time. And so she knew she had our love, she had our prayers, she had our thoughts, she had our encouragement. So we were that cloud of witnesses in a spiritual way for her that day. And she held us in her heart as she finished that line. Our cloud of witnesses who have kept the course of faith, we're so grateful for them. Who have fought the good fight, they bear witness to us today. They're not just suspended up there floating around somewhere and say, gee, I hope you make it up here. They're our cloud of witnesses, and they're encouraging us, and they've given an example to us. They love us from above and beside us. And so here they bear this witness to us today. And you know what I appreciate so much is as we live our lives, there's lots of things we value. We value a decent amount in our bank account. We value our group of friends. We value our church family. We value our work. We value our loved ones. But all of that means nothing if we haven't learned to value our faith. Because all those things I mentioned are blessings of our faith. Amen. By their obedience, those cloud of witnesses, they encourage us. As Christians who seek to follow God's will, I look at this scripture text today and I see three things that helps us run the race of faith. The first one is, Paul says you got to lay some things aside. Now, the runner knows if they're going to have an effective race, they might need to do one of two things. The first thing they might need to do is get their body stronger. Maybe they're eating better. Maybe they're shedding a few pounds. Maybe they're taking extra supplements. And so they're trying to get stronger for this race. Something else they may do is they may kind of adjust their clothing. They may get something that's more appropriate for running a long distance, giving more freedom of movement, you see. And both of those things can be the difference between victory and defeat. Now, as Christians, we know that we need to lay some things aside as well. What is your big sin you need to lay aside? What is it that is so much of a temptation to you, so much a habit for you, that it's become an obstacle of running the true course of faith? That's tripping you up just a bit from being as obedient as you should be, as you could be, as you desire to be. As Christians, we know we need to lay those things aside. And in Colossians 3:8, Paul suggests, here's some things that will dampen your spiritual progress. Gossip, partying, worry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. All that's in 1 Peter, James, and Colossians. They impair our spiritual maturity. And we're not fully mature yet. We've got a long ways to go. And they can become stumbling blocks in the course of faith. So, whatever that big sin is that ensnares you, you need to pray about that. You need to take steps to kind of control that. You need to take steps to try to ask the Lord to help you eradicate that from your life completely. Apostle Paul explains, whatever sin that is, it will keep you from being faithful to Christ. The worst result of it all, hear this, is unbelief. When one no longer believes or cares to believe, one has lost the race. Well, Jesus cut to the chase a little bit deeper than that. Jesus said, he who does not believe, that's the unpardonable sin. To not believe is the unpardonable sin. Anything else that you come today and you repent for and you confess, you are forgiven. But if you do not believe, you must instill the belief of God in Christ Jesus in your heart. Matthew 18, unpardonable sin, not to believe. Second thing we need to think about in running this race is with any race, the factor of endurance is a must. Because guys, this thing called life, this spiritual life, this trek that we are on, is meant to be a marathon. To endure throughout our lifetime, not a sprint. And there are some people that get caught up in this emotional burst of energy or emotional moment and say, okay, I love Jesus, He's accepted me. I'm done. Now let's go party. What has changed? How has it your heart been converted? What have you let go of? What are you committed to? This race is a marathon. Now, Jesus often preached to his disciples about endurance and patience. For instance, he talked about endurance when he said, think about the seed. Some may be blown by the wind, some may be choked out by the weeds, some may be scorched by the sun, but you get that seed and you plant it deeply and you nourish it, the sun and the water, and you let that plant have a chance and grow strong roots so that it can bear fruit for the kingdom. Endurance, patience, he's talking about your life there. He's talking about your heart. He's talking about your faith, those deep roots that need to have you grounded when life hits you in the gut and you can hardly take it. Another time, patience. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, agonizing. You know what happens. He asks his disciples to be patient with him. And they are not. They fall asleep. They neglect their Savior. Paul says in Romans 2:7, eternal life will be given to those who by faith and patient continuance do good, seek for glory and honor, and immortality in Jesus Christ. Eternal life, successfully running the course of faith, comes from again in the will of God and being obedient to Christ's teachings. And it's tough, as I said, but you think about anything worth anything in your life, everything to you, it's always a challenge. Nothing great comes easy. Thirdly, we need to focus on Jesus. Whether you're canoeing in a canoe, whether you are driving down the road, whenever you are in movement, and if you're a living, breathing human being, you're in movement, you focus on where you're going, and you get there. You don't allow other things to get in your way. You see the goal for the prize. You see the destination, and you're headed that way. Because there's like a little litmus test about focusing on Jesus. If you want to be distressed, go ahead, look within. Dwell on everything that's wrong in your life, and you'll be distressed. If that's what you want your focus to be, look within. If you want to be defeated, go ahead, look back. All the mistakes you ever made, all the disappointments in your life you ever had, that'll defeat you. That will give you a spirit of defeat. If you want to be distracted, and who doesn't want to be distracted today? You can hardly have a conversation. Somebody's not doing this. If you want to be distracted, look around, because there's plenty to distract you today. But if you want to be delivered, look up. Colossians 3:1. It became a life-giving, life-saving scripture for my dear friend of 25 years, Nancy. Because 23 years ago, she lost her mother to murder. And she sat in that courtroom up on that witness stand and recounted what the house looked like afterwards. What she identified the weapon. And it was torturous to hear my friend go through such pain as I sat there giving her moral support as a pastor. And afterwards I said, honey, how in the world did you get through that? She said, Colossians 3:1. Think not on the things that are of this world, but think of the things that are above. Amen. I have never forgotten Colossians 3:1, nor should you. When life tries to bring you down, you let the Word of God lift you up. Colossians 3:1. Jesus has blazed the trail by running the race himself. What gave him endurance, knowing what he was facing once he headed toward Jerusalem? The cross. I believe several things enabled him to endure. One was he knew he was going to be with his Father forever. The second thing is he knew that he was going to allow us to be with his Father forever by enduring the cross to save us of our sins. And he knew that he was fulfilling his mission as Savior of the world, King of the kingdom. Life's hard. There's not a soul in this world, in this room, that won't say, yep, been through a hard time, going through a hard time. I've got a hard time coming. I can see it. Keeping focused on the Lord prevents us from becoming weary and discouraged in our souls, because who gets up and says, okay, today's the day of the race, I feel exhausted already? No, you approach a race being well rested, being strong, being secure, being nourished, and you move forward with strength in the race. I just have to tell you, it's All Saints Sunday, and it's one of my favorite Sundays in the year, and I'm starting to have all my lasts in ministry, and this will probably be the last time I conduct an All Saints Sunday. It's one of my favorite Sundays because I'm so very grateful for my heritage. I'm so very grateful for my heritage. My parents and grandparents, they taught me so much. They taught me right from wrong. They taught me how to be strong and courageous in the face of hardship, and they taught me how to be gracious when I experienced moments of persecution. And they taught me love. And just like you with your saints, we miss them. Want to end? Read it, and I just had to share it with you today. It's short. It's from a Vietnamese Christian, Thi Nhat Hanh. Hear the words. It has been a year now since my mother's passing. I miss her. One night in the highlands of Vietnam, I was sleeping in my hut, and I had a dream. I saw myself sitting with my mother having a wonderful talk. She was young and beautiful, and it was so pleasant to talk to her as if she had never died. When I woke up, it was 2:00 in the morning, and I felt for the first time since her death that I had never lost her. I suddenly understood the idea of having lost my mother was just an idea, that really she was always alive in me. I opened the door and went outside, and the hillside was bathed in moonlight. Walking down the hill, I felt Mother was the moonlight caressing me as she had so often done before. Each time my feet touched the earth, I knew my mother was with me. It dawned on me this body of mine was but a living continuation of my mother, my father, my grandparents. These feet I saw as my feet were actually the feet of my ancestors. Today, my mother and I were leaving footprints in the damp soil. I know now all I have to do is look at the palm of my hand, feel the breeze against my face, or the earth under my feet to know my mother is always with me. The same is true for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your steps in this world need to be Christ's steps. May you be walking in places that are good. Your voice and your words can be Christ's voice and words. Your heart and your mind and your actions and your thoughts need to reflect the Spirit of Christ, because there are people out there who know you profess to be a Christian, and they're looking forward to meeting the Jesus Christ that lives in your heart so that you can share it with them and they might know Him. That's what this meal is before us today, to give thanks unto God for the saints and the saints alive, and to give thanks most of all to God that we know God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who provides us not only this life, but eternal life waiting for us, that we might gather in the communion of the saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we prepare for our sacrament of Holy Communion, I would just invite you to know that in the United Methodist Church, we observe an open communion. You absolutely do not have to be a member of this church in order to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. Also, there will be a time for you to pray after you receive the elements, and we hope that you'll do that. And of course, today you'll notice that some candles await you, that you may light one of them in memory or honor of your saint. And so, also, you'll notice this basket is here, and that's just if you feel led to give toward our community assistance fund, which is a fund we have to help those in need who come to our church throughout the week. So let us now prepare our hearts and minds for the sacrament of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks unto God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto God, and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your saints, especially those whom we name before you. Mildred H. Bradley. Lord, we thank you for this, thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Geneva Harwell. Lord, we thank you for this, thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Robert D. McInturf. Lord, we thank you for this, thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Hyla Ruminer. We thank you for this, thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. John Craig Carson. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Christine P. Henderson. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Betty McClendon. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Betty Watt. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Herschel Gardner. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Thad Humphreys. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Dorothy J. Mosley. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Robert Wilson. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Carolyn Hansen. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Penny R. Kalinowski. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Betty Ann Pyatt. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Mary Wolfe. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Will those who are assisting me please come forward at this time?
Faithful, Lord, we remember you. as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
If you'll see either on the screen or in your bulletin, we have a prayer of thanksgiving. There it is. Let us join together. We now, the people of this congregation, grateful for our heritage, aware of the sacrifices of our mothers and fathers in the faith, and confessing that apart from us, their work cannot be made perfect, dedicate ourselves anew to the worship and service of Almighty God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us remain standing, or let us be standing for our final song, Above All. This is a very special song that I first learned when I served First Methodist Church, Charleston, Arkansas, and I have some dear friends with me today who are originally from Charleston, and this is their first time to visit, so I hope you'll be sure and reach out to all who are here in our congregation today and say hello. But this is a lovely song and a great one to certainly rededicate our lives. And always, I offer this time, if there's anyone here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, would certainly invite you to come forward at this time as we stand and sing All in All.
Behind the stars.
On this All Saints Sunday, we are to head out, and we are to be the saints alive. Someone is looking for us to be the Jesus that they need to discover. May God in Christ Jesus rest in your hearts now and forevermore. Amen.